Welcome to Season 3 of The Red-Haired Archaeologist. I am your host, Amanda Hope Haley. Thank you for spending some time with me today, catching up on what has been happening since Season 2 ended, and getting a preview of what is to come in Season 3. Let me start off this season with a little bit of an apology. We're getting started a few months late because I've been spending the last basically year doing a lot of focus on the entire Red-Haired Archaeologist brand. I'm really getting back into doing live speaking engagements. And when I do that kind of thing, I spend a lot of time preparing. I don't just show up with the same old PowerPoint presentation and do the same thing every time. I try to take a lot of time to really know the audience I'm going to be speaking to and make sure what I design for them meets their needs. And so that has taken a lot more time than I've had to deal with in the past. Also, my friend Michelle, who is my illustrator, she and I have been working hard on the next children's book. That one's going to be called Copper Finds a Manger, and it is due out the first Tuesday in October. So that takes a lot of time working together and creating and coming up with something great. Plus, I hope if you've been following along on Facebook and Instagram that maybe you've seen me posting that I have a brand new website. I'm really excited about it. I worked with someone out of Nashville. The name of her company is Pinpoint Local, Tennessee. She has a background in photography in the film industry. And I think that really, really shines through. She had such a great eye for picking photographs. A lot of what you see there are photographs I took. Some aren't. Some are stock images of places that I haven't been able to be before. But I'm hoping to change that soon and have more images of more places in Israel because I am going to be leading the very first Red-Haired Archaeologist tour of Israel, May 11th through 22nd of 2023. So there's going to be room for 30 people to come. Everything is all set. As I am recording this, I am waiting on the tour people to get their website to a place where all you have to do is click a button and you can sign up. So they're doing all the tech stuff that is way over my head. So as soon as that button is live, I will be letting everybody know through social media. And if you are on my email list, you'll get an email about it. Really, all of this that I've been working on is about bringing the best possible experience to my listeners like you, and then also to my readers. I know there's a lot of different ways that we consume content. Some of us are visual learners. I'm probably kind of in that group, which is why I spend so much time preparing slides and things like that when I go speak. But also a lot of us these days are listening to audiobooks and podcasts, and audio I know is a great way to get information out there. But this season on The Red-Haired Archaeologist, I'll do what I've done in the past. So many things that I talk about, you need a visual for. And so on the website for the podcast, I'll be posting links and things like that. So you can always go there and get a visual of the kinds of things that I've been talking about in the podcast. So the last two seasons of The Red-Haired Archaeologist were structured around the book that I last released, which was called The Red-Haired Archaeologist Digs Israel. Sorry if this is old ground for all of you longtime listeners. But the podcast, I loved doing it because it gave me the opportunity to talk a lot more about the important places and artifacts that are in Israel than I had room to do in a book. You know, with a book, you've only got so many pages. And in that particular book, to begin with, it was going to be, you know, in color and lay flat and all that kind of stuff. But the product itself changed over time. And so the podcast was really key to me to helping you guys understand everything that I wanted to convey, but maybe wasn't able to do in the written page. Season one was mostly about Old Testament artifacts, and season two was about New Testament artifacts. Although I think I could talk about purely Israelite architecture and culture for years. One thing that I think it's important to know is how the nations around Israel really impacted their life. In season three, we're really going to delve into how Israel did not exist alone. The Old Testament seems to constantly be cautioning God's people to differentiate themselves from what's often translated as, quote, the nations. The Bible says, don't be like your neighbors. Follow me. God says, follow me. Don't follow a king. Worship me and only me. Worship me this way and not that way. But if we only read the Bible from our 21st century perspectives, then we can miss the history and the cultures that actually motivated those words. When we read it in English, we know that God commanded something, but we may miss the opportunity to consider why he may have commanded it. So if we only know Israel's history, then we know at best only half of the story. This is in contrast to the people who originally wrote those words down, the people who read and memorized what we would today call the books of the Bible. Those people, they knew the context from which all of this came because they had lived it, or their recent ancestors had lived it. It was part of their institutional memories, their oral traditions. But for us, a lot of that information has simply been lost to time. And so it's something that we have to make a point of studying really outside of the Bible. I would say, arguably, the biggest influence on Israel during biblical times was probably Egypt, especially during the Old Testament period. Maybe not so much the New Testament, but definitely during the Old Testament period. I think they had a huge influence. But I will also admit that for me, this may sort of be the lowest hanging fruit because I studied some Egyptology in college and wrote a little bit about it. So this season, I want to start to explore Egypt and put those together. And what we're really going to look at are the intersections of Israel's and Egypt's history. We're going to talk about the famous stories, the ones that come to your mind first, like Joseph becoming vizier and Moses and the Exodus. Those are no-brainers. But we're also going to consider how later on in the Old Testament, they were sometimes helpful and sometimes harmful to the separate nations of Israel and Judah when they were being attacked by others, when Sennacherib was coming down, when other empires were around. Egypt had a role in those things too. And sometimes when you're reading the Bible, the only indication that Egypt was there may just be one name that you don't recognize. But there's tons and tons of history that's packed in there. So I want to take a look at Egypt during the time of the Bible, their ups and their downs, how Egypt went from being what was maybe the very first superpower in the region to eventually having their once great culture be entirely appropriated by Roman rulers, just so that the Roman invaders coming in could have some sort of semblance of legitimacy to rule the people who were there. That'll be much later in the podcast because we're going to kind of go chronologically this time. I've chosen to talk about Egypt for several reasons, beside the fact that it's sort of my own low-hanging fruit. Egypt is so important to archaeological records because they kept copious historical records for about 2,800 years, from roughly 3150 to 332 BC. These records were written all over the walls of their public buildings. They were in tombs. They're contained in colorful papyri. And these records are largely complete, surprisingly complete, and they span about 33 different dynasties. I know I'm just throwing a lot of numbers at you, and we're going to talk specifically about the history of ancient Egypt, and we'll dive into some of these numbers and stuff in the next episode. But I want you to just kind of have a general idea at the end of today of how important Egypt was at the time of the Bible. So these records that they created, they're not perfect. They're not unbiased history. Very few historical records actually are. But they give us a baseline history for the ancient world because they are so complete, because they continue for so long, and because of what Egypt was doing at the time, because they were trading and they were waging war and they were engaging in diplomacy with not just Israel, but all of those neighbors during all of those almost 3,000 years. The second reason that I want to talk about Egypt is because, quite frankly, Egyptology is really, really popular. When I was about 5 or 6 years old, I lived in Memphis, Tennessee, with my family, not Memphis, Egypt, but we will talk about Memphis, Egypt. I lived there when the Ramses the Great exhibition came to town. I hated every minute of it because I had little 5 or 6 year old legs. And everyone I think my parents ever knew came and visited us in Memphis that summer so that they could go see the Ramses the Great exhibit. And so all I really remember of the exhibit is being absolutely exhausted and really bored because I didn't understand at the time. But then visually, what I still remember is this took place at the Cook Convention Center, if I'm remembering correctly. And I don't even think that place exists anymore. But I remember them talking about the statue of Ramses the Great that came in. In order to get it into the convention center, they actually had to take the roof off of the building. And I don't know if they lowered him in or he probably came in pieces and was reassembled. But that made a huge impact on me when I was little, that obviously this civilization was literally huge. They had to remove the roof from a building I already thought was huge. But then also my other memory is this little figurine of an Egyptian woman swimming. If you know me, I'm a big swimmer. I have loved to be in the water my whole life. I am a redhead, so my great joy growing up was getting in the water and pretending to be Ariel. But this little figure spoke to me, and I remember every single time we went. When we get in this room, I would just go there and I would stand and I would just look at it. And knowing me being a kid, I probably put little handprints all over the glass and stuff, which is not recommended. But those are the two things I remember from it until I got to middle school. And when I was in middle school, I went to public school and we had the same textbooks that, you know, everyone in the county or maybe everyone in the state had. And our history textbook in fifth or sixth grade was turquoise. And on the cover of it was the outside covering for Tutankhamun's sarcophagus. If you've seen pictures of it, you know, there's lots of gold and everything on it. Well, the people who put the textbook together took the extra step, spent the extra money to actually put some foil in there. And so that gold really popped off the cover. I loved that book and I loved history that year. I don't know if, like me, you have very specific memories of learning about Egypt, but I think almost everyone has seen something or has a picture in their mind's eye of ancient Egypt. Lots of pharaohs, lots of wealth. Maybe these ideas just come from pop culture, even if it's just a cheesy movie, like, you know, the old black and white The Mummy, or the one from the 90s, which I absolutely loved, or the later one, the more recent one, which I would not necessarily recommend. But I think everyone hears Egypt and they have this idea of this great, ancient, wealthy society. So I think it would be really great for us all to understand it a little bit better. And then, of course, ultimately understand how it impacts what's in the Bible. Then the third reason that I'm focusing on Egypt in this podcast is actually because of what I just said. I want everyone to understand how Egypt impacted Israel and how that relationship can help us to understand the words of the Bible even better. All of this podcast is my way of preparing for what I hope will be the next book in my series, The Red-Haired Archaeologist Digs Egypt. With this book, I want to do what I did with Digs Israel. I want to give my readers a better understanding of Egypt's ancient history, as we've been talking about, but also their more recent history, including the skirmishes with Israel. Talking to you now about this topic is going to help me organize my own thoughts, because this is a huge subject. I'm interested in what you think about what I am presenting. I would actually really love it if, as you listen to these episodes, reach out to me through social media or through my website. I would love to get conversations going over on the Facebook page. As you may have noticed right off the bat, this episode is a little bit shorter than the ones I've done in previous seasons, and that is going to be new for my format this time. I'm going to try to keep episodes to around 20 minutes. Which means there's going to be a bunch more of them. I did a survey on social media maybe about 6 months ago, and I asked people lots of questions, but one of them was, how long do you want these episodes to be? And most people picked the, I think, like 15 to 20 minute section. And so my thought is, if you're like me and you tend to binge things, then you can always listen to a couple of these at the same time. But if you're someone who has a 15 minute commute into work, then a 15-minute podcast maybe is the sweet spot. So I'm going to give it a try this time for time reasons, but also since this material is so big and so different potentially, I thought it might be a good idea to just break it up into smaller chunks than I have in the past so that you have a week to really think about what we've talked about in one episode. It's really easy when you're reading the Bible to think of Egypt as nothing but the big bad. Because they're almost always, not always, but almost always the enemy of Israel. That's something that I hope changes as we go through this podcast and learn more about them. They often are the big bad. That's not incorrect, but they're so much more than just the big bad. That's what season 3 is about discovering these people and the way they influenced Israel negatively and positively. So I hope you will join me on this journey this year. Right now, I have planned out 12 episodes. I would not be surprised if it gets stretched out a little bit longer as I get into some of these topics later on that I haven't recorded quite yet. I am really looking forward to this season. I'm looking forward to getting back into this old material. And I hope you're excited too to do something a little bit different. If you enjoyed this episode of The Red-Haired Archaeologist, then I hope you will listen again soon. New episodes are released each Thursday. To interact with me and other listeners, follow The Red-Haired Archaeologist on Facebook and Instagram. Then check out my redesigned website at redhairedarchaeologist.com, where you can sign up for my monthly newsletter and book me to come speak in your town.